number of passages of Scripture. And let's see. I'm going to skip over that to get down to this. Oh, you got to be at a certain age to remember this. I don't know if any of the kids would remember or maybe have seen some reruns of this. How many remember the old show, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom? How many ever used to watch that show? Man, we wouldn't miss that show when I was a kid. Of course, that was in the days when you had to watch TV with the rabbit ears on it. And there were no reruns. I mean, if you miss it, you miss it. You can't videotape it, watch it later. I believe it was on Sunday night. The Wonderful World of Disney and then Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom was on back-to-back. And when Disney had Davy Crockett on there, boy, that was living it up when we were kids. And by the way, I'd suggest you, I discovered UBTubi. You can watch episodes of The Wild Kingdom on that little UBTubi thing. And I'm going to tell you what. They're fun to watch, but it's kind of funny because they would not be acceptable today by today's standards. But they are great shows, and they are worth watching. Oh, Marlon Perkins. I think he was the head of the St. Louis Zoo, I believe, is how he became famous. And then my favorite part was his sidekick, Jim Fowler. Hey, Jim, go down and wrestle that croc down there, would you? Hey, hold that rhino down so we can count his teeth there, Jim. I mean, the whole thing is like that. Well, I love that Jim guy. you got to watch that show. It's better than what some of these, what are those alligator shows on, the Alligator Hunter and stuff like that. It's better. Oh, man, it's better than them, I guarantee you. You want to go back and I'm going to start. I started watching one today, but I'm going to put this down. It's good. But anyway, I'm going to talk to you on Wednesday nights, not about Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, but I want to talk about God's Wild Kingdom. And this summer, I'm going to go through some things. In fact, I was talking to Nathan and Tina a few weeks ago, and there were some different ideas I was thinking to do, and I usually try to do something in summer, and this summer is going to be unusual because we're not going to be going to camp every other week. I'm going to be here most every Wednesday, so we can do a complete series and go through it. She said, you know what, I still remember when I was a little girl, and you went through different characters of animals. She said, I still remember that. I thought that would be fun to do. Well, we're going to do something along that line. But tonight, we're going to start, kind of give you an introduction of God's Wild Kingdom. And I want you to think of something. We're going to talk about the characters, the character traits that you can see in animals of God's creation. And I might get into some plants, too. To be quite honest, I like studying plants more than animals. But and it's amazing what you can learn from the Word of God concerning these. And let me just give you something to think about tonight, and then I'll give you an assignment for next week, all right? The first thing I want you to consider is we're going to look at some animals that give us a picture of God. What animals give us a picture of God? Now, I'm talking about in the Bible, not just animals. Well, I saw a giraffe once, and I thought of God's long-standing neck. No, in the Bible. Well, we're going to look at some, okay? We're going to look at the verses and see what they are. I want you to start in Genesis. Don't give it away, Todd, all right? You don't get a piece of candy. Just the kids get a candy when they get to it. Genesis chapter number 3, I want to start. Animals that picture God. In Genesis chapter number 3. Now, this first one, I've got to admit, is a little bit of a trick question. All right? So you're probably not going to be able to name this animal. You might come up with a guess, and a lot of Bible commentaries have tried to guess what this animal is. Genesis chapter number 3. Of course, Genesis 3, we read about the fall of man. I'm not going to read the context of all these verses. I just want to look at the animal. Verse number 21. And Adam also, and Genesis 3 and verse number 21, and Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them. The coats of skin came from an animal. You understand that, right? What kind of animal? Now, I'm going to answer that question a little bit. This is kind of a trick question, all right? And to be quite honest, this is my answer in a nutshell. We're going to come back to this in a little bit. But I personally believe this was the last animal of that kind. The one that God killed to make a coat of skin with.
What?
Why do you say that? What?
A unicorn?
No, not a unicorn, all right. Well, it could have been, actually. Because it could have actually been a unicorn, but it's an animal that, well, you know what? That almost fits what I'm going to say about that animal. At least the legends of unicorns. But it was the last. And notice this about that animal. In fact, I believe this is talking about the same animal. If you go back to Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. The serpent was more subtle. Now, when you hear that word subtle, you think, oh, he's secretive, he's conniving, he's evil. You know, that's not really what that word means. It has that connotation, but that word that's translated subtle in our Bible is used 11 times in the Bible. 8 of those 11 times is in the book of Proverbs, and it's always a positive thing. It's used, I should have jotted some of the verses down where it's used. You can look them up. But it's defined as having wisdom, having discernment, having the ability to have a conversation, having judgment and discernment. That's a quality of that animal that's called the serpent. It was no surprise to Eve when that animal showed up and started talking to her. Because that animal could do that. That's part of the meaning of the word subtle. It was able to speak. It was able to reason. You were able to hold a conversation with this animal. Could have been a unicorn. I've seen them talk on the cartoons, right? And of course, we think, well, it was a lamb. And there are many. And I'm going to just say this. This animal typifies all the sacrificial animals throughout the Bible that were used in sacrifice and worshiping God. And in them we see a picture of God. The bulls, the heifers. A heifer is a cow that's not had a calf yet. A female cattle that's not had a calf yet. A young, and again, picture of a virgin there. And the goats and the sheep and the lambs and even the birds that were used. These are the sacrificial animals that are all, in a sense, a picture or a type of God. God identifies himself with these animals that were used in sacrifice. Now, we're going to look at a couple of those animals, and I've got to hurry through here. Genesis chapter number 22. Genesis 22, we're going to see two of them in Genesis chapter number 22. And I'm going to turn there quickly, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to stop and see who can tell me what the animal is, all right? Genesis 22, and you know the story in Genesis 22 where Abraham's offering Isaac up for a sacrifice. In verse number 8, and Abraham said, "My son God will provide himself a lamb." Jacob, you had your hand up. You were going to say it? Everybody said it. You know what? I want you to do that. I want you to raise your hand up. And I'm going to be watching while I read it, all right? I want to see the first hand that goes up. Some of you already know what it is before we even get to it, all right? Some of you are cheating on me. But if you know, raise your hand, all right? There's another. A lamb. John the Baptist, when Jesus came to be baptized, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." A lamb, an innocent little lamb. His picture of Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter number 22 and verse number 13. Again, we're not going to the whole story. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram was caught in the thicket. A ram. Here we go. Put that in your pocket so it melts real good. All right. A ram was caught in the thicket. Now, this one, oh, I like this one. Go to Job. I just read the book of Job this week. And Job chapter number 40. Job chapter number 40. There's a rather lengthy section of Scripture that I would like to read here. I don't know if I'll read all of it. Well, let's read it all. I'll just read the description. I won't read through the whole description, but it's amazing when you look at these descriptions. In Job chapter number 40 and verse number 15, you see that animal mentioned there? What is it? Any kids say me? Tell me. I'm looking forward to get. What? Try to say it. If you mispronounce it, just say you're Pastor Fritz, all right? What is it? Behemoth. Behemoth. Oh, good job. And by the way, he's got a second name, too. I won't give you one for a second name, but if you, I was going to read verse number 15 all the way into chapter number 40, and chapter number 40 and verse number 1 is a second name. Canst thou draw out Leviathan? And by the way, these are what we would call today dinosaurs. If you've studied this out before, the word dinosaur is not that old of a word. And it really has the same meaning as these two words right here. Great lizard. Giant lizard. And the description is given of these monstrous animals to Job. And God's using those animals to picture Himself. And by the way, the same word we use today in legends and European legends of dragons. The same animal we're talking about. God's using that dragon, that behemoth, that leviathan, that dinosaur as a picture of Himself to show His strength and His ability. He's saying nobody can tame this creature. He's saying, and by the way, he's saying, Job, look out there. You see that T-Rex? I was going to put a picture of T-Rex up there. There's T-Rex right there. Except the one that he describes even breathes fire. So I'm not sure what kind of dinosaur it is. And the T-Rex has too short of arms. That can't be a very good picture of God, because God talks about how strong His arms are. But that wouldn't work very good. But the descriptions given here of this dragon, this dinosaur, and then if you jump down to verse number 10, look at this, just this last verse here, I'm going to read the whole description. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Nobody messes with this thing. Nobody touches them. And then he says, who then is able to stand before me? You see what God's saying here? Nobody touches God. Nobody compares to God. There's nobody that even comes close to being as strong as God. And God picked the strongest, the fiercest, the scariest animal alive. And it was alive in Job's day. Job saw them trotting around in the field. And boy, when they came around, everybody went in for shelter. He's saying, this is a picture of God. Only God can match the strength of this animal. And then, of course, Todd already threw this one out in Revelation chapter number 5. Revelation chapter number 5, we're going to see a repeat of one, and then we're going to see another animal that's a picture of God. I'm going to hurry through, and we could probably come up with more, but these are just the main ones I want to look at. Revelation chapter number 5, that's the last book in the Bible. If you find it, Revelation chapter 5, verse 5 and 6. And one of the elders saith unto me, and John seeing a vision here of heaven, and seeing that we're all condemned to sin, and there's no one to pay for our sin, but then someone appears. And he sees it as an animal. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But he describes them as actually two animals. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold the what? Lion! Ben, he raised his hand and said, I'll just give you one, all right? Besides, your dad already gave you the answer. That's a true homeschooler, right? Dad gives you the answers. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. We already talked about the lamb as it had been slain. Of course, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He was human. And he was God. He came from the throne of God. He came from the 24 elders, which represented all humanity. He was the God. The animals that picture God, we see the animals that were used in sacrifice, that mystery animal back in Genesis 3. In fact, we're going to go back to Genesis 3 here, because next we're going to look at the animals that picture Satan. And of course, the first one you think of is in Revelation chapter number 3. That's the serpent. All right? But I do want you to see this. Again, we read verse number 1 of Genesis 3 already, that serpent was more subtle. It had the ability to converse. It was an animal that walked in the pasture. It stood up on its four legs like a cow or goat or lamb, but it had the ability to speak. It had the ability to discern. It was subtle. Not just deceitful, but it could speak, it could reason, it could communicate. In verse number 14, after the fall of man and after the curse of Adam and Eve because of sin, God also cursed this animal that was used as an instrument of God. And I want to say, well, let's look at the verse. Verse number 14 in Genesis chapter number 3. It says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent. Now picture this. Here's this animal standing up on all four legs. With a mouth that could speak, ears that could hear, could reason, had a brain that could reason with man. God said to that serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. You're me different than all the other cattle. Above every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman and Pastor Fritz. I don't like snakes. Amen to that. If I see a snake and if it doesn't go away from me and I've got a weapon in my hand, it's dead. I don't like snakes. I have learned not to kill them because there is a purpose for them. No purpose for me, but God's creation, there's a purpose for them. So I just let them go if I can. But I don't like snakes. But I want you to see this. That in the animals that picture Satan, every one of us remind us of something about Satan. Satan's an imposter. Satan always takes something that God used to represent himself, and now Satan twists it for his purposes. Everything in our world is that way. Satan wants to take you and twist you. You were designed to worship and fellowship with God and to serve God, but Satan wants to take your life and turn you completely around. You can talk about the sacrificial animals. The calves, the bulls, the heifers, the goats, the sheep, the lambs, and even the birds. The devil has taken those animals. In fact, if you go to Exodus, let's jump up to Exodus, chapter number, another animal that is a picture of Satan. Exodus chapter number 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, small g and an s at the end, plural, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not. We don't know what happened to him. Isn't it amazing that just days before they thought Moses was the greatest man that ever walked the face of the earth, and now they say, we don't care what he said. He's completely goofy. He's off his rocker. We don't care anything of what he said. Let's forget that we ever even knew him. In verse number 2, and Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings, which are the ears upon your wives and your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he made a molten what? Oh, who has an answer? Did you answer one yet, Liz? What is it? A golden calf. All right, let me see. Where's my candy? Oh, I can't find it. I guess I'm going to have to eat it all when I go home. I'm going to give you a kiss, all right? golden. And again, there's an animal that God set aside for sacrifice and worshiping him. And now they've taken the image of that animal, not even the real animal. And people are willing to worship not even the real animal, but an image. Satan's an imposter. He's always got a substitute. And sometimes, and that's the first one we see, very obvious in the Word of God, but oftentimes throughout the Old Testament, they're making statues, carving them with wood and stone and graving them out of metal and iron. God says, can I use the language that God uses? You're as dumb as those animals. They can't speak and you can't speak. They can't hear, you can't hear. They can't see, you can't see. And you think they're going to answer your prayers? You're as foolish as God. The devil is always twisting things around and giving us substitutes. Oh, here's one. Some of you are not going to like me for this, but let's go to Revelation chapter number 18. Revelation chapter 18, an animal that represents God. Now, something else about, that represents the devil. I'm going to get this right. That gives us a picture of the devil. Something about the character of the devil. Revelation chapter number 18. I know, I don't want you, I want you to see it in the Bible because I don't want you to get mad at me when I tell you this, all right? Revelation 18, verse number 1, says, "After this things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth lightened with his glory, an angel that comes and shows the judgment of God. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen and become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful." What's that animal, Isaiah? A bird. Do you know a bird's a picture of the devil? But I like little birdies. Huh? Wake up, Isaiah. Almost got him. A bird is a picture of the devil. What do you mean by that? Remember when Jesus gave the parable of the seed and the sower? Some seed fell on the good ground, some fell on stony ground, some was devoured by, overtaken by the weeds. And the seed, of course, was the Word of God. When somebody gives you the gospel message, and it fell on the stony ground, before anything could happen to that seed, the devil came and snatched that seed away. And who was the devil pictured there as? A bird. The birds of the air come and snatch that seed. Now, let me say this. Birds are beautiful. Garrett showed me some pictures of birds that he saw in back of Mom and Dad's house. I just put hummingbird feeders up today. And I'm not kidding you. I came in the house less than 5 minutes later. I looked out. We already had our first hummingbird there. Birds are great to watch. I love to watch birds of prey. They're majestic. My favorite bird, of course, is a fried chicken. They're tasty, and they're beautiful to look at, but they're also a picture. And by the way, there's something about the devil, too. When the devil comes to us, he appears as an angel of light. Birds are nasty animals, by the way. If you ever have a pet bird, you'll find out they're a nasty animal to clean up after. Birds on a farm. They're nasty animals to keep. They're a picture of the devil. Though they look good, but they're just like the devil. He appears as an angel. And there's another one. Oh, we're going to get to this. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 5. Some of you said I mentioned the reference. You're going to know what I mean. But let's look at the verse. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 6, it says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil," by the way, your adversary is not mom and dad, your adversary is not your brother and sister, your adversary is not your pastor, your adversary is not the police officer, your adversary is not your fellow church member, but your adversary is the devil. He's the only adversary that we have. No man is my adversary. The devil is my adversary. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring what? Some of you guys, a lion, a roaring lion. Now, keep in mind, remember, Jesus is, did she say it? Clara said it. Can you catch one of these, Clara? Hey, Clara, can you catch? I'm going to relay. Carol, can you hand that to her? Well, you can't catch. I overthrew her. A lion. And again, remember, Jesus is pictured as a lion for the tribe of Judah. The devil's always an imposter. He always takes something that's not him. And let me give you one more of the devil. Then I'll give you an assignment, all right? Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. You might kind of guess this if you think of what God was pictured as, what kind of animal pictured something about the character of God. Revelation 20 and verse number 1 says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the..." Some of you hadn't answered one yet. Oh, you guys have answered one. Have you? Everybody up here has answered one. Connor, did you have your hand up, Garrett? You don't count. A dragon, which is, here, you guys split one. You know what? I feel bad because I stole some candy at their house last night, so there's payback, all right? They said it might be bad, but it tasted good. I've only been there since they've lived there, but now I don't believe that for a minute. What kind of bachelors would have candy sitting on their coffee table ever since they moved into their apartment? Do you believe that? I think they were pulling my leg. They just didn't want me to eat it, thinking that it was going to be bad. Tasted fine to me, other than the bellyache I had all night. But the dragon, in verse number 2, it says the old serpent. And by the way, he's the old serpent too, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Remember that behemoth, that Leviathan, that dragon, that dinosaur, was first a picture of God and His strength, and His might, His power. But the devil's an imposter, and he's remembered as the dragon, the serpent. Now, my thing for you to think about, and I gave you all kind of, I was going to go through a whole bunch of things here. I'm going to skip through. Actually, I had a bunch of verses I was going to turn you to, but I'm going to hang on to those for later. But I want you to think about this between now and next week. These are animals that tell us something about the character of God. Now, this is going to be our focus through this summer. The animals that emphasize qualities that we ought to have in our life, or animals that we would identify with. If I were to describe you as an animal, that sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? What kind of animal would I use to describe you? And there's my question for you. What kind of animal, or we could say, I might get into plants, but I think I'm just going to focus on animals, would best describe your personality? Now, some of you are having fun with this already, all right? I've tried this on a couple of people. My wife took a few days to come up with one. I think the answer she finally gave me today, and I asked her a few days ago, was a good answer. It took me about a week thinking about this before I came. I'm going to show you what mine is in a little bit. You see, but we can, we're talking about, I'm not using this to say, well, that's just my nature. You know, animals have a distinct nature about them. You can't tame a wild animal. How many of you have ever had a pet raccoon? You ever had a pet raccoon? We have. They eventually turn into wild raccoons, no matter what you do to them. They're either going to sneak off or you're going to have to get rid of them. You're not going to keep a pet raccoon forever because they're a wild animal. I remember reading a story a while back about, this happened a few years ago, I believe in the Chicago area, a lady who had a orangutan, some kind of a monkey, for a pet. She raised it. I mean, she had it when it was a little newborn thing. I think she worked in a zoo or something. She raised this thing from being a baby, and now it's a couple of years old. And she reached in the cage and let it out of the cage, and literally that animal ripped the face off of her head. And she became a face transplant patient. That pet animal, it's a wild animal. I was in the zoo this spring with some kids that I brought there on a school bus, and I was sitting, 2 feet from a snow leopard. That's a beautiful animal. I thought, that's the kind of cat I want in my house. I wanted to reach out and pet it, but I wasn't going to do it because I wasn't that dumb, and because there's a big pane of glass that was about that thick between me and that cat. I thought, I'm not a cat person, but I could be a cat person if I could have one of them walking around my house. But that's a wild animal. You don't want that in your house. They've got a character to them that you're not going to change. Now, I'm not talking about sins in our life, but I'm talking about our character. Now, God says that you can't. A leopard can't change its spots. Ethiopian can't change his skin color. We can't change who our person. Now, God sometimes does, and He often does change our personalities. But if it's a sin we're talking about, we ought to change. We can repent of it, and God can change that. For example, you can look at the apostles. Peter is a great example. He always stood up and spoke first and said the wrong thing. Every time you see him in the Gospels, he's doing that. But something happened in Acts 1 and 2 where the Holy Spirit came and took over Peter's life. And God didn't change his personality, but he changed his character. Or I want to say that backward. God didn't change it. God didn't change his personality, his character, but he changed his sinfulness. You see, his sin was left behind. He didn't stand up and say the wrong thing anymore. He stood up and said the right thing now. Because God took control of his life. But there's some things about us that we'd like to, and sometimes when I ask you what kind of animal are you, your perception is not
based on reality. And I got a whole list of them I was going to go through. Like I say this often, girls are like cats. Huh? They're cute and fluffy, and but every once in a while, huh? I'm not a cat person, and some people that are cat persons, I'm in their house, and sometimes, oh, little foofy or whatever comes up and sits in my lap, oh, nice. And sometimes, all of a sudden, it can sense, you ain't no cat person, you ain't fooling me. And it's looking at me, I'm just waiting for the opportunity, I'm going to rip your eyeballs out of your head is what I'm going to do. That's what girls are like. Right, girls? Huh? They're so cute and so innocent looking, but they're... And it's sad to say a lot of ladies don't grow out of that when they become adults. And boys are like puppies. Hey, throw a little stick over there. I'll go get it. Hey, throw it over there. I'll go get it. You want me to jump in the water? Sure. This is fun. Right? I asked these two last night. The first thing they said, I'm like a puppy. Uh-huh. That's what little boys are like. And sad to say, a lot of men never grow out of that. They're just not a care in the world. They're clueless of what reality is. They're reckless. They'll do whatever you ask them to do. Hey, go jump in the water. Sure. Good. Throw a frisbee. I'll go after it. Can you swim? That don't matter. We'll think about that later. I won't go any farther than that. Well, then, I hear this one a lot, and I'm just going to point. I have a whole list of them here, but we'll get into some of these. But our perception's not based on reality. Sometimes I get so sick of hearing this one, if you don't mind me saying this, and we're going to talk about this one sometime this summer. A lot of people say, you're everybody's a sheep. And by the way, God says we're sheep. Every one of us are sheep. And a sheep is a dumb animal. A sheep is completely dependent upon the shepherd to live. And I hear people, Facebook has made this popular, the military has made this popular. I think some Marine sergeant or corporal or somebody gave this speech. They're like, yeah, that's what I am. Everybody's a sheep, but I'm a sheepdog. You think you're a sheepdog, but what you are is a wolf. Try to find a sheepdog in the Bible, by the way. There's a challenge for you. You see, a sheepdog is very finely tuned to its master. Sheepdog could be a half mile away, and the master snaps his finger or gives a little whistle, that sheepdog stops in his tracks. But a wolf just keeps a wolf and a sheepdog both corral the sheep. Well, I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to go with the crowd. I'm going to push them all over this way. You're a wolf, not a sheepdog. If you're not walking with Jesus Christ and humble before Him, and most people say that, well, bless God, I'm going to do what I want, and you're a rebel is what you are. You're not in tune with God. God never commands us to be sheepdogs. God gives a pastor the deputizes him, though he is a pastor, is a sheep. I'm just a dumb little sheep. But the shepherd, Jesus Christ, has deputized me to lead the other sheep. I ain't smart enough to do that. Well, you ought to be a sheepdog. No, you think you're a sheepdog, but you're a wolf. And you're only going to destroy. And by the way, sheepdogs are dogs that have been trained to work alongside the shepherd. There were sheepdogs in the time that the Bible was written, but you never see one mentioned in the Bible. I think that's curious. We'll come back to that one. And the only time you see one in extra-biblical story, when people tell the Christmas story, you know, remember the shepherds were out in the field? In that time, and even some Israelites used sheepdogs. But they always tell the story, the shepherds, well, they'd always, I read it a couple of places when I was just looking up some things the other day. When the shepherds came to see baby Jesus in Bethlehem, surely they had doggies there. Surely doggies came to worship baby Jesus, because everybody knows all doggies go to heaven, and all doggies are good, and they're wonderful, and on and on. That's usually the kind of people that point that out. The shepherds had to, but there's never a record in the Bible where shepherds, at least that I can find, maybe you can find one, where shepherds in the Bible use sheepdogs. Dogs were thought of much different than they are today. Though in history, at that time and in that place, they were used, but they're not mentioned specifically in the Bible. I just say that because... And then sometimes, to be quite honest, most of us men, I won't tell you what the ladies are, but men will be identified mostly as mules. Huh? And by the way, a mule is a great work animal. One of the best work animals you'll ever have. That's a good quality about a mule. But a mule is also known for what? Stubborn. And that's where most of us men fit. What kind of... And again, my perception and my reality is far different. I brought my skeleton. I'm going to pull a skeleton out of my closet to show you what kind of animal I identify with. All right? Now, I'd like to say my perception is I want to be an eagle. I love to soar through the air and look for my... and see things. I can't see things past my hand without my glasses on most of the time, but I like to see things from a mile away up in the sky and swoop down. And my favorite, around here, you see the red-tailed hawks everywhere. I'm always watching them. I'm always disappointed because I can never get close enough to one of those things to get a picture. Now, you can get real close. I've actually hit one with a vehicle once, and I've come real close to hitting them many times with a school bus because that's just the right level of whoa. You can get real close when you're driving, but when you stop to try to take a picture, you ain't going to get close enough unless you got a really good zoom. But I love to watch those hawks, and I put them in the same category, the birds of prey, come down and grab something and eat it. I was watching one the other day, just a month ago, eating a pigeon in our backyard. And, of course, me being the goofball I am, I went and tried to find my camera. And I couldn't get, watching it plucking the feathers and eating it. I have got pictures actually in our yard eating them out there. I'd like to say, well, I'm one of those tough birds, the symbol of liberty. Or I'd like to say, well, in my perception, I would like to be a deer. You know, I love to be out in the wild. I love to just graze and wander and live free and all those things. That's what I'd like to be. But in reality, you know what I am? I got my skeleton I'm going to pull out of my closet. Skeleton I'm going to pull out of my pulpit right here. That's what I am. That's my personality right there in a turtle shell. That's my personality. I found that almost in that shape. I only had to scrape a little bit of skin and one arm out of it when I found it. Set it outside for a while till it didn't smell anymore. I want to make a cereal bowl out of it. Or an ice cream dish. It definitely ain't big enough for that. That's my personality. A little bit slower than a lot of animals. And by the way, that's just the way I am. You don't have to try to change who you are. Serve God with what you have. Don't try to be something you're not. I've never seen one of these flying before. Jacob probably has. He knows more about them than I do. Turtles generally move pretty slow. There's nothing wrong with that. They do what they need to do. When a turtle feels a threat, what's it do? Jacob, what's he do? He's inside of his shell. You ain't getting him out. In fact, I've been on bike trails where I've seen turtles, sometimes even snapping turtles. Oh, those snapping turtles are vicious. They suck inside of their tail. I've sat by them for sometimes 20 minutes waiting for them to stick their head out to get a picture of them. Sometimes I didn't see them in time, ran right over my bicycle, didn't bother them a bit. You can walk on me, you can step on me, ain't going to hurt me, none. I'm just going to keep on going. I'm just going to go my own little pace, and I'm not one that's going to... That's just my personality. And sometimes I've tried to change it. In fact, I was thinking a couple of verses here. Isaiah 45 says, "Woe unto them that striveth with his maker." God, why'd you make me this way? God, why'd you give me this personality? Shall he say to the, shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, "What makest thou? Hey, don't bend me this way, bend me that way." We're not in control of that. Or this is better yet, in verse number 10 of Isaiah 45, "Woe unto them that saith unto his father, what begattest thou? Or to the woman, his mother, what hast thou brought forth?" Mom and dad, it's your fault. And we blame, hey,
It's your dad's fault. I know for you. It's your dad. And we there's some character about us. And this is in no way, don't get me wrong, this doesn't justify sin. Sin needs to be repented of. Well, I'm just an angry person. That's not a character trait. That's a character trait, yes, but it's also sin. I'm just a bitter person. No, that's a sin. You need to get right with God. But God can, once you're cleansed of that sin, God can still use that person, just like He used Peter. He was outspoken, boisterous, and God can use you. And I've met people that, I want to say this, and we'll close. I've met people, now I'm not this way. In fact, my brother is a pastor. I just watched a video. My brother, he pastors a church up in Minneapolis area. If you haven't heard any news lately, there's some bad things happening in Minneapolis. And he's been posting these videos like I've been trying to do. I absolutely hate it, but I said, I'm going to just do some. And if nobody watches, that's fine. I'm leaving something for maybe my grandkids can watch one day. But he did a video today. Man, that was good. He's standing in Minneapolis with what used to be a shopping center around him. What used to be a fast food is a pile of rubble now. And all the things that are happening around there. And he does such a good job. And he's always had that personality where he's comfortable in front of people. That's why he was a family clown. He still is the family clown. But you know what I was in our family get-togethers? I was the one that nobody knew existed. I know the family of 13. And the worst part of that is everybody in the community knew that I was a Fritz. And even worse than that, I had the first name that everybody remembered. But I wanted to be the invisible one. And I'm this thing. I'd rather just curl up in a shell. I don't like being in front of people. But God can still use you. God can transform something, but I still have that personality. And we need to understand who we are. Say, God, this is who I am. I'll say this, and I'm going to close. This is what I meant to say a little bit ago, but I got sidetracked. Some people say, well, I'm just, after they've talked my ear off about politics, after they've talked my ear off about the weather, or about current events, about sports, and then the conversation eventually gets to witnessing for Jesus. And the first thing out of their mouth, well, I'm a quiet person by nature. Who do you think you're fooling? You want to know what a quiet person is. But years ago, I was down where my sister's lives, and she knew I was preaching in a church where we visited a number of Brother Munn's church, and she came to the church, and she's just snickering the whole time. What in the world? That's my older sister that I didn't really know real well because she's so much older and out of the house before I really had much memory of her. And she said, I just can't believe. That's my little brother that every time I ever saw him growing up, he was always hiding from everybody. Now he's standing up there preaching. Well, in reality, this is me. But God can still use you despite who you are. And God can still take you sometimes out of that shell to just get up and make a fool out of yourself. God can take you in your boisterous, prideful arrogance like Peter and turn you around completely. Though you still have those qualities, God can use you. I mean, think of that. What kind of animal would describe you? Should I tell you what my wife said? Well, I'll save that one. I'll save it till we cover. We're going to do that animal. Then I'll tell it, this is the animal my wife said that she is. And I thought she was pretty accurate when she told me to. Doesn't look anything like it, but and I may not look much like that. I don't know, maybe I do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.